Hi, this is Sassy Strawberry reading Thousand Autumns, 千秋 by 孟西石 Chapter 112, translated by myself and edited by Happy Bass and Yuki Ryu. 雪婷 was no fool. He had expected that on the 8th day of the 4th month, 普六如坚 and his allies were likely to take advantage of his absence from the palace to make their move.This was why he had someone masquerade as him to travel to Qingyang Si, while he had disguised himself somewhat whilst remaining by Yu Wen Yun's side. His notion proved to be correct. Whether Pu Liu Ruzian wanted to stage an uprising in the palace or to save his children, as long as Xue Ting was by Yu Wen Yun's side, it would be like having an indestructible copper wall or a steel bulwark blocking their path.No ordinary person would even be able to get close to Yu Wen Yun, and as long as Yu Wen Yun lives, the Zhou dynasty would survive. The rest is immaterial. When Bian Yan Mei attacked with explosive force, Xue Ting reacted very quickly. He had already been paying close attention to these people. Their stature was truly excessively tall for mere serving girls. When the other party tried to grab Yu Wen Yun, he also made his move. But as he did so,he discovered that he had also overlooked another person by his side. It was not Shen Qiao. There were four serving girls who had entered the palace together. Two of them were Shen Qiao and Bian Yan Mei in disguise. One of them was a real handmaid who had been chosen by Pu Liu Ruzian for her glib and eloquent tongue, as well as her ability to deal with important people and grand occasions. And as for the last one,The last person's features were plain and nondescript. When that person had entered the palace, they were carrying goods, not speaking a single word. Even when Bian Yan Mei was speaking to the empress, he was a presence that was halfway invisible, his behavior extremely low-key. Even the spies that the emperor had emplaced outside Sui Guo Gong's residence had been fooled. However, it was she who had attacked Xue Ting. Both Xu and Xue Ting were old enemies. Once they started fighting, there was no way that he wouldn't realize who his opponent actually was. He immediately raised a palm towards Bian Yan Mei, then hastily moved towards that plain and nondescript serving girl, while shouting out to warn the others, Yan Wu Shi! He hadn't expected that Yan Wu Shi's reputation was already so deeply entrenched within people's hearts, to the extent that upon hearing his name,Everyone couldn't help but show aghast expressions of horror. Even his subordinates' movements had significantly slowed down. The maidservant laughed loudly. It was indeed Yan Wuxi's voice. Lao Tu Li, this getup of yours is quite novel. Have you been attentively craning your neck out, eagerly waiting for this venerable one? You are so ardent.How could this venerable one not come to meet with you and grant your wish? Accompanying these words was a series of bone-cracking noises that made one's ears feel numb upon hearing them. The handmaidens, forelimbs suddenly stretched out and lengthened upon meeting Xue Ting's palm, and the maid's clothing immediately became tight and somewhat restrictive. It was apparent that Yan Wuxi had been casually spouting nonsense when he had previously claimed not to know the bone-shrinking technique. Not only did he know it, but he had practiced it to a level of exquisite and ingenious mastery. Even when it came to secondary or minor skills, someone as proud and arrogant as him still felt the need to hone said skills to a level that ordinary people could not attain. As for the face, of course,He hadn't merely undergone minor changes like Shen Qiao and Bian Yan Mei, who had their eyebrows trimmed and reshaped and some powder applied to their faces. Instead, it was covered entirely by a mask of human skin. There was an old and opportunistic saying of how someone who doesn't take advantage of cheap benefits when they are presented to him is a Wang Ba Dan. Yan Wuxi had looted the human skin mask from Huo Xijing after Shen Qiao had killed the latter, on this principle.He had originally wanted to give it to Shen Qiao to use, but Shen Qiao had resolutely declined. Thus, he could only regretfully place it over his own face. This, combined with the bone-shrinking technique, had turned him into an entirely different person, one that was completely unrecognizable. with Yan Wushi hindering Xue Ting, Bian Yin may rush towards Yu Wen Yun. However, the others around him were not slow in their reactions. Xue Ting's two disciples, Lian Shen and Lian Mie, immediately engaged him in a fight. Others saw that Shen Qiao and the others had arrived at the palace to rescue people, so they rushed towards the Empress and her brothers, with the intent to seize them and take them hostage in order to threaten Shen Qiao and his party into not making any reckless actions. Since these people believed Shen Qiao to be nothing more than a soft persimmon, Shen Qiao would naturally re-educate them on proper manners and behavior. Although he hadn't brought the Shanhe Tong Bei Jian with him into the palace, this wouldn't impede his fighting ability. Shen Qiao immediately took on 5 opponents at once, ensuring that the passage leading to the inner palace was guarded so tightly that not even water, let alone a person, would be able to pass through. As for these 5 martial arts experts, some were from He Huanzong, and the others were Xue Ting's subordinates. Their martial arts skills would be considered first-rate in the Jianghu, and it would be rare to meet people of their caliber. They have stayed by the Emperor's side for some time, and in that time, they had learned a few new dark and crafty tricks. They had no reservations about using concealed and poisoned weapons in hand-to-hand combat, in spite of it being considered shameful and vulgar. While they may not be able to overcome Shen Qiao with this, they would still be able to keep him busy for some time. It would be practically impossible for Shen Qiao to quickly bring all 5 of them down simultaneously. Xue Ting was truly worthy of being acclaimed as a Zongshi level martial arts expert. Although Yun Zixiao had ranked him below Yan Wushi, this had no bearing on his profound martial arts skills. When one has reached this realm of martial arts, their cultivation has long reached a stage of being in complete harmony, without any obstructions. It would be impossible for Yan Wushi to subdue him in one fell swoop. They would first need to find the other's flaws while fighting. Lian Shen and Lian Mie had foiled Bian Yin Mei's original intention of attacking Yu Wen Yun. The parties on both sides were disciples of Zongshi level experts, and Lian Shen and Lian Mei coordinated their attacks in complete synchronization. Hence, Bian Yin Mei would not be able to deal with them so quickly. Shen Qiao assessed the situation before coming to a decision. He stopped guarding the entrance to the inner palace. Instead, he swept towards Yu Wen Yun, who was about to surreptitiously sneak away. By this time, the ruckus had attracted the attention of the Imperial Guard stationed outside the door. They tried to break into the area with their weapons in hand, but were swept away by the wind brought forth by Bian Yin Mei's palm strike, and many of them were sent tumbling back outside. Although Yu Wen Yun's behavior was completely absurd, he still valued his own life highly. Upon seeing everything denigrate into a brawl so messy and chaotic that even Xue Ting wasn't able to extricate himself from it, nor could the latter assist him for the time being, he clumsily ran towards the entrance. He had never expected for Shen Qiao to swoop over from behind, suddenly rising up and rushing towards his direction. He saw a dark shadow appear overhead. With Shen Qiao's level of skills, Yu Wen Yun only had enough time to make a quickly cut-off yell of surprise before he was captured by Shen Qiao. Shen Qiao only spoke a single sentence to Yu Wen Yun in a faintly indifferent tone. "Bixia, have them stand down." Yu Wen Yun raised his voice and yelled, "Stop fighting! Everyone stop fighting!" Upon seeing that Shen Qiao had put aside fighting them in favor of capturing the Emperor, the 5 people had originally had Shen Qiao surrounded immediately split up into 2 groups. 3 people threw themselves at Shen Qiao, while the other 2 rushed into the inner hall to capture the Empress and her brothers. The 3 people who hurtled towards Shen Qiao were still one step too slow. No matter how swift their footwork was, it was still impossible for their footwork to be mentioned the same breath as Tian Kuo Hongyi. They could only watch helplessly as the Emperor was taken hostage. On the other side, Bian Yin Mei's fight with Lian Shen and Lian Mie had also come to a standstill. The battle between Yan Wushi and Xue Ting was currently in full swing, and they had already fought their way from the inside of the hall to the outside. Under the terrifying power of 2 grandmasters, the roof was already halfway demolished. But of course, it would be well nigh impossible for them to cease their fighting just like that. Previously, Xue Ting had colluded with four other martial arts experts to encircle and besiege Yan Wushi on the outskirts of the imperial city of Tu Yuhun, beating him up to the extent that his head had blossomed with bloodied flowers. And he had almost breathed his last. With Yan Wushi's vindictive nature, he would definitely not let this slide. Last time, he had taken advantage of the dissent between Dou Yanshan and Yun Fuyi to secretly incite internal strife within the Liuhe Bang. This ultimately resulted in Dou Yanshan succumbing to poison and losing his life. And in the end, Yun Fuyi had taken over his position as Bang Zhu. However, she had only been the leader for half a month before several hallmasters serving under her received evidence of her collusion with the Tuzhe. These hallmasters then joined forces to oust Yun Fuyi from the position of Bang Zhu, and the Liuhe Bang has since splintered into different factions. Right now, its power had been split up like a melon, and the Liuhe Bang was torn asunder. Aside from what had transpired at the sword trial conference, this was another major event in the Jianghu. These same hall leaders had wanted to take advantage of the situation and borrow Huan Yuezong's influence within the northern merchant community to increase their own standing. Likewise, Huan Yuezong also needed to make use of their escort and water transportation services to expand their own businesses. For a time, their cooperation with one another was as natural and smooth as fish and water. Huan Yuezong's name was never brought up in this matter from beginning to end. But only Yan Wushi would know how much benefits they had actually gleaned from the fragmentation of Liuhe Bang. On that fateful day, out of the five people who had beleaguered Yan Wushi, Guangling San had trimmed his sails in accordance with the wind and took the opportunity to ingratiate himself with Yan Wushi, cooperating with him and giving up plenty of benefits to him. As a result, Yan Wushi had set aside their enmity for the time being. One did not need to speak of Duan Wenyang, since he was fortunate to have a good shifu by his side, and Yan Wushi has no intention to do anything to him at this time. As for Yu Ai, Yan Wushi had decided to leave him for Shen Qiao to deal with. Hence, he has not done anything to him either. As for Dou Yanshan and Xue Ting, Yan Wushi had already dealt with the former, resulting in Dou Yanshan's death. Now that he had encountered the latter today, this could be considered a situation where enemies unexpectedly meet on a narrow road. Xue Ting was being restrained by Yan Wushi, and it was impossible for him to clone himself to rescue the emperor. Upon seeing that Yu Wenyun had been taken captive by Shen Qiao, he sighed within his heart, then focused entirely upon fighting against Yan Wushi, no longer paying attention to any distractions. When it came to people like Duan Wenyang and Yu Ai, although their martial arts are formidable, their hearts were burdened with far too many concerns. If they were thrust into a similar situation, they would inevitably be distracted and defeated. However, Xue Ting was still one of the foremost eminent monks of his generation. He could leave the Tian Tai Zong and establish his own organization without needing to rely upon the power and influence of his former sect, and had even been conferred the title of Guo Shi. He's definitely not a person who can be easily dealt with. Upon seeing that he was unable to rescue Yu Wenyun, he chose to disregard the matter entirely. This level of control and willpower was something that even Yan Wushi couldn't help but appreciate. Lao Tu Lü, Yu Wenyun does not possess the fate of a monarch. This venerable one does not believe that you aren't able to see this. The truth is, your determination to stay by his side and assist him as a ruler is in violation of heaven's will. Aren't you Buddhists concerned with karma and the law of causality? Your actions are effectively helping the wicked perpetuate more crimes. Are you not afraid of facing retribution? Even when fighting, Yan Wushi didn't forget to agitate and incite him with his words. Xue Ting didn't pay the least attention to this, as he exchanged numerous blows with Yan Wushi. Both parties fought in mid-air, their robes fluttering and flying in the wind. Their zhenqi surged, and the progress of their battle was far more exciting and spectacular than any other. Even the imperial guards, despite seeing that the emperor had been taken hostage, couldn't help themselves from looking over and sneaking some glances at Xue Ting and Yan Wushi's fight. On the other side, Shen Qiao had the emperor within his grasp, and no one dared make any rash movements. Even the imperial guards, who were aggressive and overbearing just a moment ago, had to cease their movements. As Shen Qiao dragged the emperor along while retreating out of Qingning Dian, he asked the handmaid to bring the empress and her brothers out. As long as they are able to safely bring the hostages out, the purpose of their mission can be considered accomplished. Yet, who could have expected that a short while later, the empress would emerge from the inner palace tugging along only one brother with her? Shen Qiao's heart sank. Without waiting for his questions, the empress frantically said, "Just now someone broke in through the window. He seized Erlang and left." If he had been taken hostage in order to pressure Shen Qiao into releasing the emperor, then there was no point in taking the child captive and bringing him elsewhere. It was clear that the child was kidnapped for a different purpose, which had nothing to do with rescuing the emperor. The current circumstances didn't allow Shen Qiao enough time to consider the matter further, so he didn't ask any more questions, letting the empress and her brother come to his side. Although Yu Wenyun was forced to temporarily compromise in consideration for his life, he glared at the empress. His eyes almost shot out flames as he said, "You bitch! Zhen knew that you were nothing good. If I had known that you would be disloyal and choose to help outsiders instead, Zhen would have stripped you of your position as empress and let dozens of brawny men have their way with you." A stream of unclean and vulgar words spewed out from the emperor's mouth. Shen Qiao felt annoyed at hearing it, so he increased the strength of his grip. "Bi Xia's own life is currently in danger, yet you can still be bothered to rebuke other people. I suggest that you save it." Yu Wenyun had been restrained to the point that his face was flushed red. He said, You have such powerful martial arts. Why do you assist a rebellious courtier like Pu Liu Jian? If you choose to defect and assist Zhen, Zhen can confer on you the title of Guo Shi. How about it?" Seeing that Shen Qiao was unmoved by this, he piled more weight to his offer. "I'll also bestow upon you a noble title with unparalleled wealth and honor." Shen Qiao replied, "Bi Xia, do you wish for me to exert more force in my grip?" Yu Wenyun's neck was squeezed so hard that the whites of his eyes were showing, hence he didn't speak any further. With the emperor in his grasp, their path was naturally unimpeded. Pu Liu Ruijian and his men were already waiting outside the palace gates. Upon seeing their father, the empress and her brother became so emotional that they were unable to control their excitement. This was especially the case for the empress, whose eyes brimmed with hot tears as she threw herself into her father's arms and wept loudly. She was from a wealthy and noble family. When Yu Wenyong had betrothed his son to this woman, he had appreciated her gentle and virtuous nature and felt that she would be worthy of this great responsibility. Pu Liu Ruishi had indeed lived up to his expectations. Ever since she had become the Taizi Fei, she did her duty and fulfilled her responsibilities, diligently managing the internal affairs of Yu Wenyun's residence. Who would have expected that she hadn't accumulated enough virtues in her previous life to be so unfortunate to end up with such a husband in this life? When he had been the Taizi, he had been humble and well-behaved, but upon becoming the emperor, he thoroughly exposed his true colors. He was as absurd and preposterous as they come. Not only were the affairs of state in an awful mess, but he had even conferred 5 empresses in his harem and would revile and abuse Pu Liu Ruishi on a regular basis. For Pu Liu Ruishi to have been oppressed for so long, no one would have been able to endure it. A large force of Pu Liu Ruijian's troops had already been deployed outside of the palace and had skirmished with the palace guards for a time. With the appearance of Yu Wenyun, there was no need for both sides to struggle any further. as the outcome had already been decided. Shen Qiao's expression did not show the slightest sign of elation. Instead, he said to Pu Liu Rujian, "Due to my oversight earlier, your second son was seized and taken away. I must find him and bring him back to Sui Guo Gong." Pu Liu Rujian consoled him instead, saying, "Life and death are predestined. Dao Zhang has already tried his best. Even if the most unfortunate event occurs, it is Qunzi's fate, and the blame should not fall on anyone else. If it were not for Dao Zhang, Yan Zongzhu and Bian Dafu's assistance, Jian would not be able to see his children today." The fierce battle between Yan Wushi and Xue Ting was still raging, and they were completely immersed in their own realm, not being able to spare any effort to take note of the circumstances around them. The glazed tiles on the roof of Qingyingdian were affected by the exertions and manipulations of their true power, occasionally exploding into fragments, accompanied by extremely loud crashing noises. Shards flew about in all directions, forming an indistinct vortex around them. Although the palace was filled with martial arts experts, in the face of two great Zongshi of their generation battling it out, they could only stand on the sidelines and observe from a distance. Pu Liu Rujian had brought his forces, using his firm hold over the emperor to control the nobles and swiftly stabilize the tumultuous situation in the palace. Shen Qiao and Bian Yan may searched everywhere in the palace for traces of Pu Liu Rujian's second son. Everyone in the imperial palace was in a panic due to the uprising, and it was difficult to locate the culprit who had taken advantage of the chaos to fish in troubled waters. Both went their separate ways to start their search from the various areas surrounding the palace, but inevitably ended up empty-handed after searching for a long while. It was quite peculiar. Bian Yan Mei frowned, asking, "What does someone have to gain by kidnapping Pu Liu Rujian's second son? Pu Liu Rujian has still yet to become the emperor, let alone one of his sons. Taking him captive was not akin to having the actual emperor in their grasp. Moreover, the other person had the ability to sneak into Qingyingdian without anyone being the wiser. First, this was evidence of the other person's skills, and second, his familiarity with the palace routes, which indicated that he possessed a certain status for him to be able to move about freely. And last, by capturing one of Pu Liu Rujian's sons, it was likely that they wanted to negotiate terms with Pu Liu Rujian himself. After all, Shen Qiao is no longer the ignorant and naive person he was in the past. He has learned many things from his experiences over the long period that he had spent in the secular world. His innocence and naivety had both been completely refined and condensed, allowing him to see through the world's affairs more thoroughly and clearly. Due to this good fortune to his soul, he was able to understand the situation and said to Bian Yan Mei, "We don't need to search any further. The other party will definitely come to us of their own volition." Bian Yan Mei had obviously also figured this out, hence he nodded, then returned to inform Pu Liu Rujian of their conclusions. The other person had arrived sooner than expected. Even before there was a clear victor to Yan Wushi and Xue Ting's battle, Mu Rongqin had already arrived. He brought with him a verbal message from Chen Gong for Shen Qiao. Pu Liu Rujian's second son was in their hands. Moreover, he would only allow Shen Qiao and Pu Liu Rujian to go and redeem him. Pu Liu Rujian had just launched the palace revolution. Naturally, he would need to assume personal command within the imperial palace. The soldiers serving under him would need him to be a stabilizing force to maintain their morale, and he could not easily leave the palace at this time. In spite of being worried for his second son's safety, he still chose to stay back and said to Shen Qiao, "It's no matter if the other party seeks gold or silver. As long as we can save my son's life, any amount of money would be worth it." Shen Qiao naturally agreed. Bian Yan Mei had also wanted to accompany him, but Mu Rongqin replied frostily, "With Shen Dao Zhang's level of martial arts, if even he isn't able to escape unscathed, what is the point of you going?" don't force us to kill the hostage outright, since that will result in a situation where the chickens will have long flown the coop with the broken eggs left behind. Neither side will be able to obtain any advantages from it. Bian Yin Mei sneered. So be it. But he secretly made hints to Shen Qiao with his eyes. Mu Rongqin brought Shen Qiao out of the palace. After taking a winding and tortuous path through the capital, they finally arrived at a nondescript house. Chen Gong, together with Pu Liujian's second son, was sitting in the main hall. He was calm and composed, his mood stable and unruffled, as he smiled faintly at Shen Qiao. It's been a long time since we last met. When Shen Qiao and Chen Gong had first met, they had both been in dire and miserable straits. One of them had been blind with his martial arts destroyed, and the other had been a descendant of a destitute family. Never knowing where his next meal would come from, both of them had traveled together for a time, and between them existed some emotions that had arisen from enduring shared trials and tribulations. No one could have expected with the impermanence of the world, and through the ups and downs of fate, their paths would intertwine once more. Everything seemed to have been preordained by unpredictable and incomprehensible forces. Shen Qiao vaguely felt that he and Chen Gong were destined to have this meeting.